Our text is found in that verse 35 of Hebrews and the chapter 10. We read this verse together. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Now, these believers that the apostle was writing to had been through an awful lot. They had suffered terrible affliction and persecution because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and because of their association with those who loved the Lord and those who served the Lord. In that verse 32, we can see that Paul calls upon these people to remember those days, to remember those days after they were saved. Their sufferings were great. They were reproached shamefully. They were made a gazing stock. They were made to be a byword. Now, while we are most unlikely to suffer the affliction and the cruelty that they endured in their day, that of being made the spoil of the wicked, for example, being thrown into the arena with wild and hungry lions just to amuse the vile crowd, very unlikely that you and I will ever suffer such cruelty in our day. However, the Bible would have us to know in 2 Timothy in the chapter 3 and the verse 12 there that we need to be aware that those who live godly shall suffer persecution. The devil and the devil's crowd, the world which hates Christ, will hate those who love the Lord, will hate the believer. And in the face of that, then we come to our text. And in our text, then we have this great exhortation where we read, Cast not away therefore your confidence. And even when there is no open persecution, we may face times of difficulty and times of distress and times of problems, maybe because of health or of family or employment or the lack of employment, in such a time as that, then the Lord will have these words to be heard in our ears and to be in our hearts. At such a time of difficulty or despondency, the Lord would say, cast not away therefore your confidence. Now, what does it mean to have confidence? It is a trust. It is a dependence on the Lord. The term relates to the Lord. It's not talking about confidence in ourselves. Not talking about confidence in our own ability or in our own strength or in our own understanding or our own wisdom. And it's not talking about putting confidence in men. Such confidence in men is something that is forbidden in the Word of God. If we go there to Proverbs 25, the verse 19, is talking there especially about putting confidence in unfaithful men. But there we read that putting confidence in such men, it is like a broken tooth or a foot out of joint. It's of no great benefit. It's of no help. It will be of no assistance to us. And so we don't have confidence in ourselves. It's not talking here about the believer having its confidence in men. And it's not talking about having confidence in our wealth or in our possessions. And again, when we go back into the Old Testament in Job 31 and the verses 24 and 25 there, we are warned against putting our confidence in our wealth, against putting confidence in our gold and in our riches. It's talking here about confidence in God. That is what this term is relating to. It is confidence in God. Cast not away therefore your confidence. It is a confidence that relates to the Lord. We know that when we look at the scripture. In 1 John 3, the verse 21, then have we confidence towards God. Again, in the chapter 5 of 1 John, in the verse 14, this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we go back into the Old Testament, Proverbs 3, the verse 26, we're taught the very same thing. The Lord shall be thy confidence. The focus of our trust, of our confidence, is the Lord. And so we have this exhortation here, people, to us. It comes to us as a congregation. The Lord would say to the congregation, cast not away therefore your confidence in the Lord. And he speaks personally, and he speaks individually, and he speaks to our hearts personally, and he says to you and to me today, cast not away therefore your confidence in the Lord. Now, there are aspects of the confidence that we have in the Lord that we can depend on. We think about confidence in his love for us. His love for us. We are confident today that the Lord loves us. The evidence of this is seen in particular in his atoning work. When we set our eyes upon Calvary, there we can see the revealing, the manifesting of divine love. We can say with the apostle, he loved me and gave himself for me. How do I know today with confidence that the Lord loves me? He loves me. How do I know that? Because he gave himself for me. And every day I look at Calvary, and every day I have that confidence that the Lord loves me because of Calvary. But we can be confident that this is an everlasting love. The Bible tells us so. Jeremiah 31, the third verse. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. And again in John 13, the first one, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. So we can be confident that the Lord, who loved us first, who loved us when we were unlovely, that he loves us still, and that he will love us forever. Dear men and women today, here is our confidence. We are confident in God. We have a confidence in the love of God towards us, and that it is an everlasting love, that he has loved us. He has loved us right to the very cross of Calvary, that he loves me still, and he will love me always. Then, of course, there is confidence in the power of the blood of Christ, power to cleanse us from all sin. The word of God says in 1 John 1, the verse 7 there, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, that is God's son, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And I love to underline the word all. I'm glad that the Spirit of God has put the word all in. Yes, it's lovely to think that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from sin. But men and women, it says, it cleanses from all sin. And that gives me confidence. If it only said from sin, perhaps the devil would torment me and say to me, but does that mean every sin? Surely there are sins in your life that you can't know cleansing for. But the Lord has bypassed all of that and has said, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from all sin. Hymn writer penned that lovely hymn, would you be free from your burden of sin? And the response is, there's power in the blood. And would you be free from your passion of pride? There's power in the blood. And would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's power. Wonderful power in the precious blood of him who is the Lamb of God. People, the shed blood of Christ, that is our redemption. The shed blood of Christ, it satisfies God. I'm glad of that. Turn with me back into Exodus, into the chapter 12. Look at the verse 12. And here we have the promise of God to his people with regard to the Passover, and that Passover night. There we read, the Lord is speaking, And he says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." The Lord is making a promise to his people. He says, "I am the Lord." And he says, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." The Lord gave instruction that night. The lamb was to be slain. The blood was to be taken and applied to the doorpost, to the lintel. And the Lord said, "When I see the blood, I'll be satisfied." It hadn't to do with the satisfaction of the people. It hadn't to do with the satisfaction of the Egyptians. The Lord said, "When I see the blood, I will be satisfied, and I will pass over you." There is safety where the blood is applied. This is our confidence. Dear men and women, maybe people today, you're unsaved. Maybe a man or a woman or a young person here today, and you're not saved. The blood of Jesus Christ has never been applied. Your sins has never been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You stand before God as a rebel, as a sinner against him. You have no confidence today of a home in heaven because you're in your sin. Dear men and women, there's only one way to have your sins forgiven and pardoned, and that's through the precious blood of Christ. Would you be free from your portion of sin? Would you be free from your burden of sin? Would you be free from your passion, from your pride? There's power in the blood of Jesus Christ. Dear men and women, if you take nothing else home with you today, dear unsaved, take that home. You'll never be saved, you'll never be in heaven, unless it is through the precious blood of Christ. You need to come as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ and throw yourself upon him, upon his mercy. Come to him in faith, trusting him, calling upon him for pardon, for forgiveness. And the moment you call for pardon, your sins will be forgiven, cleansed away by means of the precious blood of Christ. And you will have confidence in your heart that you are bound for heaven. We have confidence and the power of the blood of Christ to cleanse us from sin. But then, people, we have confidence that he is able to keep us. We have confidence that those that he saves, that he will keep. 2 Timothy 1 and the first 12, we find the apostle says, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day." I know whom I have believed. There's no doubt here in the apostle's mind. He knows the Lord. Do you know the Lord as Savior? I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. I am confident that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day. What did he commit unto the Lord against that day? He committed his soul to the Lord for saving. The soul. A man is nothing of greater value than this. Committed to him for saving against that day, against the day of judgment, against the day when he would stand before the Lord. He had committed his soul to the Lord, and he was convinced that the Lord would keep him. People, we're glad today that we can say that he is able to keep. We're confident of that. When we read there of Paul writing to the church at Philippi, chapter 1, and the first 6 there, we read, being confident of this very thing. This very thing that he's able to keep. We're confident of that. Paul says, he uses the very word, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. In other words, he will keep us until we reach glory. We're confident of that. We have confidence today, we have confidence in his wisdom, that he knows all things. His wisdom, his knowledge is absolute, that it is infinite. There is nothing that the Lord doesn't know. And that knowledge extends to us and to what we need. We have the Lord saying there in Matthew 6, the verse 8, your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Dear child of God, here we are today. We have a fair idea of the things that we have need of. Tomorrow will come around. We don't know today what we'll need tomorrow. Tomorrow morning we'll have an idea of what we have a need of, but we won't know in an absolute way. But the Lord knows what things we have need of before we even ask him, before we even know ourselves. Here is the wisdom of God. We have confidence in the knowledge of God that he knows what we have need of even before we ask that. And we have confidence that he will provide for us. Over there in the Psalm 84, the verse 11, we have that great promise from the Lord. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. That's the term given to God's people. God's people are those that walk uprightly. That's a good test, isn't it, dear professing people of God? Do I walk uprightly before the Lord? There's a test, there's a guide, there's a touchstone. The Lord is speaking about his redeemed. He's talking about his people. And he says, no good thing will he withhold from his people. But he doesn't put down his people. He puts them that walk uprightly. That's a description of the people of God. But the Lord is saying here that he will not hold back any good thing. He knows what we have need of. And he will not withhold that from us. Again, we read in Matthew's Gospel, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things shall be added unto you. All what things? All the things of necessity in life. All the material things. The things that we have need of for eating, the things that we eat, the clothes that we wear. The Lord knows all about those things. And we can be confident of the promise of God that if we walk uprightly, and that if we seek first the kingdom of God and the things of God, then all of these things that we have need of, they will be added unto us. So, people, we can have confidence in the Lord today. We have confidence in his word. Confidence in his word. We read that the word of God is truth. John 17:17. Thy word is truth. That it is an unchanging word. We read in the Psalm 119, verse 89, that the word of God, it is forever settled in heaven. We have confidence that he is faithful to his word. Confidence that is based upon the promise of God. There in Numbers 23, the verse 18, God is not a man that he should lie. We can depend upon the word of God. We can depend upon all of the promises of the word of God. 2 Corinthians 1 and 20, that all the promises of God, they are all yea, they are all amen in Christ Jesus. We have confidence in the word of God that its history is true. History of God's people, of God's dealing with his people, how God deals with his enemies. Every story in the Bible, every word is true. Its precepts are absolutely right. We can depend upon the word of God. And the Lord is saying to us in our text here, cast not away therefore your confidence. Confidence in the Lord. Confidence in his love. Confidence in his mercy. Confidence in his saving power. Confidence in his keeping power. Confidence in the blood of Christ. Confidence in the precious word of God. Cast not away, people, your confidence. And then, of course, we have confidence in our access to God in prayer. What a blessing this is. Ephesians 3 in the verse 12 there, the apostle is writing, in whom we have boldness, in Christ, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. We have access today with confidence. What a wonderful thing. Child of God can be confident of that way into the presence of the Lord, bringing our praises and our petitions with us. Confidence to come to the week of prayer, knowing that we can enter into the very presence of the Lord. Coming to the Thursday night prayer meeting, having confidence that we're coming into the very presence of the Lord. We have confidence in this access that we have. Confidence to say, and to believe, well, I am God's child, and I can come into his presence, and I can speak with him, and I can hear him speak to me. That's our confidence. Just like a child with his father, with her father, there's confidence in approaching. There's no fear of being turned away. I remember with my own children, when they were young, even yet, when they would come to speak of matters, a father would never ever think of turning the child away when they want to speak with him. But I remember on numerous occasions, a common thing in the study, and the door would, when I'd be in the study, I'd close the door in order to have a bit of quietness and a bit of peace before the Lord and in the Word of God. But the door often would get a knock and it would open, and some of the children would come in. And they would say, I'm just coming in to sit with you. And I not talk, I not disturb you. And they would come in, and I had a chair, and there was a couch sitting there, and they would sit on the couch. But it wouldn't be too long before they would be asking questions, always asking questions. What is that, and what is that for? What is that book? And so it would go on. But you would never, never have I ever said, I haven't time to talk to you, or you'll have to go out. I would never put a lock on the door so the children couldn't get in. Because the children would always be welcome. And every father here today will know that. That the children, with all of their questions, will never ever be turned away by the father. He will never say, I haven't time, or it doesn't suit. Many a time, it didn't suit. But however, it was a pleasure to have them in the study. I always found it to be a pleasure to have the children with me in the study. And it's the very same picture, only in the infinite sense here, when we're reading about access into the presence of the Lord. We can be confident that no matter what time we come at, and there's something on our heart, whether it's something that we want to praise the Lord for, or something we want to unburden ourselves with and bring it to the Lord and ask for guidance or ask for help just to tell the Lord about it, we'll never be turned away. That's what the apostle is saying here, that we have access with confidence. With confidence. If you go on into the New Testament here, we find in 1 John and in the chapter 5, of 1 John, let me read the verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Not a wonderful portion of Scripture. This is the confidence that we have. This is the confidence that we have in him. What is this confidence? That if we ask anything according to his will, if we ask anything, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. And I'm glad the apostle put in there, inspired of God, that word confidence. That's why the Lord says there, cast not therefore your confidence away. Cast not away therefore your confidence. Dear men and women, maybe you've been seeking the face of the Lord in prayer for some particular matter, something that's a disturbance to you, a distress to you, a discouragement to you, something that's personal, maybe others know little or nothing about it. And perhaps the devil would say to you, look, you've been seeking for this for so long, that you might as well give up. You might as well give up. The Lord is saying to you, cast not away therefore your confidence. Not your confidence in the Lord, or your confidence in prayer unto the Lord. And then could I just say this, that we have that confidence that one day he will bring us home to heaven to be with himself. That is the believer's confidence. Let me go back there to 2 Corinthians the chapter 5 and the verse 8. And again, the apostle using the same word, he says, we are confident. I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. I am confident. He's saying, one day I'm going to be absent from the body. One day I'm going to die. The body will be put down into the ground. But I am confident that when I'm absent from the body, I'll be present with the Lord. What a confidence this is. What a joy this is, people. Here we are. We are sinners, at best sinners, saved by grace. And the Lord says, cast not away therefore your confidence. Confidence in the Lord, in his love, in the power of the blood to cleanse. Confidence in the power of the Lord to keep us. Confidence in the ability of the Lord to know what we need and to supply that need. Confidence that we can enter into the presence of the Lord in prayer and with our praise. And confidence that at the end of life's journey, one day we're all going to come to that. That at the end of life's journey, we'll be absent from the body, present with the Lord. And when we stand around the graveside, and we look at the casket and the grave, and it's been put down into Mother Earth. Oh, what a sense of peace it is to know that that dear brother, that dear sister, they died in the Lord, and they're with the Lord now. And I've gone away from many a graveside with my heart at peace with the Lord, knowing that the one who has gone to be with the Lord. I've gone away from the graveside of loved ones, away from the graveside of those who have been precious to me in my own congregation, away from the graveside of my father and of my mother, and having preached at the graveside, looking into the grave and walking away with confidence, knowing that they're at home in the presence of the Lord. That's our confidence, people. That's why the believer today rejoices. Oh, don't allow anyone or anything to rob you of your confidence in the Lord. Not reproof or mockery from the world, or not opposition or the threats of the wicked. When we go back into the Old Testament there, in the chapter, in the Psalm 27, the opening verse is there, we have David, and he's speaking here. Let me read those opening verses to you. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh? They stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. In this will I be confident. He is confident here in the face of the enemy. He's confident here in the face of the wicked, in the face of his enemy, in the face of his foes, in the face of those who encamp against him, in the face of those who would eat him up. He says, here is my confidence. What is it? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I tell you, people, today there's many a one would endeavor to rob you of your confidence. All you've got to do is turn on the old television there and you'd see programs. And they're endeavoring to shake the confidence of the believer. There we have atheists and infidels who deny the Lord, who deny the existence of God, who would deny the doctrine of creation, all to shake your confidence. The Lord says, cast not away therefore your confidence. Confidence in God and in all of the aspects of the Lord that we have been thinking about today, my friend, cast not away your confidence. Not, my friend, even in the face of the compromise of apostasy, not because of the worry and anxiety of circumstances, whether they're personal or whether they're within the church. People, we have a great God. We have a God who loves us, a God who has infinite wisdom and power to help us, a God who hears and answers prayer. Our confidence is in Him. Dear child of God, cast not away, not for any reason, not for any person, not for any circumstance, not for anything. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence in the Lord. Because, as we read there, there is that great reward. We read, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. There's blessing. There's blessing abundant for those whose mind is stayed on the Lord and whose trust is in the Lord. I trust that the Lord will apply this wee word to our hearts today, that the Lord would be pleased to use it even to the encouragement of His people, and that the Lord would be pleased to use it to the saving of precious souls and those who are yet without a Savior. People, be confident of this one thing, that there is power in the blood of Christ to cleanse you. And if you will come today as a sinner to Jesus and trust Him, the Lord will save you. He'll bless you. He'll satisfy you. He'll make you ready for heaven. He'll do your soul good. Come to Christ today, dear unsaved. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer. Our God and our Father, we pray that Thou would be pleased to apply Thy word to our hearts. We thank Thee, Lord, today for mercy and for grace. We thank Thee for Thy love and for all that we have in Thee through Christ. We bless Thee, our Lord and Savior, today for such a redemption as ours, full and free. We pray, Lord, that Thou would have us to leave the house of God with that renewed zeal today and that renewed abundance of confidence, Lord, that no matter what, that we will trust Thee, undertake for us, and bless us, Lord. We ask it in the Savior's name. Amen and amen.